What did you set out to do on the Whatcom County Council, and what did you fulfill, what you have yet to fulfill?
Oh, there's a lot yet to fulfill. When I first got started, we were doing the, what do we call it, our comprehensive plan update. And that's one of the main reasons I ran the first time, because I knew that was going to be going on. So getting it in line with state law, that's been a problem. Kind of holding the line on urban growth areas, which I think we did pretty well. Taking a hard look at the future of Cherry Point and the public health, safety, environmental factors associated with the possibility that some of the operations out there might become involved in more crude export and coal export at the time, that was on the table. So we passed a moratorium dealing with that. We kind of strengthened the comp plan on some of those issues. We're still working on it. The stuff hasn't gone away. Since then, we did a budget, and one of my priorities on that budget was try to find some additional revenues. There is this culture of Whatcom County politics of never taking the 1%, even less than cost of living adjustment for additional property tax revenues. That hasn't been done in 20 years. We almost got it. We had 4 votes to do that, and the executive vetoed it. But I think we still got a lot of work to do on that budget, and now the jail.
When you ran in 2015, you ran on strengthening economy was like your number one issue. And is the county economy stronger?
Yeah, I think it is. And I don't think we can take any credit for that, as most politicians probably would or elected officials. I think what we can say the county council is trying to do is to beef up what we're doing as far as economic development as a government. And we have tax revenues through something called the rural sales tax that creates a pool of money for economic development initiatives. And past executives have maybe wanted to spend that money on jail updates or, you know, retrofitting buildings. Even the current executive, the state law has actually changed. We can't spend that money on jail, but we can still spend on that stuff that's not economic development. And using that money for actual economic development, trying to repurpose the role of the way the Port of Bellingham's been working with the county as far as not just building sidewalks and patching up windows with this EDI money, maybe
EDI.
Actually economic development initiative money, this rural sales tax stuff that's dedicated for economic development, but actually using it for business retention, business recruitment. And you know, some of that's going on, but that's a thing. I don't take credit for that, but Sat Paul Sidhu and Red Brown have been working on that. And you know, that's one way as a local government we can start building economic development.
So a few years from now, when you're running again or at the end of your term, what would you like to say was due to you in terms of the economy?
Well, I think this trying to repurpose what we're doing with the economic development money and trying to, you know, we put out essentially to bid to have competition for the agency that's actually going to be doing economic development, whether it's going to be the port or whether it's going to be something else or whether it's going to be in-house in the county. And 2 years from now or 4 years from now, it'd be great to be able to say, we're spending this money with people that are doing stuff we weren't doing before. It's doing business recruitment. It's doing business retention stuff. It's spending money on stuff like the All-American Marine thing down at, you know, that's
what's
economic.
The All-American Marine thing?
The port spent some money, public money, including some of this EDI money, to help them build a new facility so they can expand, so they can hire people. We want to be doing more of that and less of using the money to fix the windows on the courthouse.
Right, which is inevitable, I think. Do you have a courthouse plan?
I don't have a courthouse plan. I'd almost rather just see the thing rot than...
Is that part of your campaign?
No. You know, our capital facilities plan right now includes using economic development initiative money to repair the work that was not done properly and was not maintained. There are other revenue sources that could have been tapped before, that maybe should have been tapped before, but people didn't want to say they were raising taxes, so it wasn't. I don't want to see economic development money going for that kind of stuff.
So speaking of money that could have been raised and wasn't, we are on the brink of a legislative hopeful budget save. It sounds like Hearst is not going to be part of that. Where does the county go from here, and what do you want to see happen?
Well, I haven't even seen the budget yet, right? They're going to...
When this airs,
here,
we have seen it, yeah. But at this moment, we have not.
At this moment, we haven't seen it. What I've been worried about is that the Hearst thing was going to be used as sort of an incentive to get Republicans to sign on to something the Democrats got in the budget. I didn't like the 5239 Senate bill. That bill was essentially to go back to where we were, where people could steal water. And that's a hard way to put it, but, you know, be able to get a development permit with water that they didn't have a legal right to. There's ways we can deal with this, hopefully, without just going back to how things were.
Name two.
Letting people get a permit and they're using conservation measures for water, metering how much water people are using. You know, there's ways we can deal with the seasonal issues of in-stream flow that would allow people to develop, allow them to build conservation measures. You know, those are things we should be exploring regardless of Hearst. And my worry about what the legislature might do is just punt us back to where we were and we're not recognizing the problem.
What else about the state budget are you concerned about?
I'm actually, as a Whatcom County official, interested in seeing what they'll do with the capital budget, because we have some major road projects that we'd like to see funded in there. We have a huge issue with Swift Creek and the asbestos flow continuing coming out of there that we're hoping to get some state money for. And again, that's it's a capital budget thing, which I haven't heard anything about the capital budget, excuse me. But as far as a citizen, you know, the operating budget, I'm really curious to see what they do about McCleary and how much they fund it and what the court will say is or isn't adequate in terms of dealing with the McCleary thing.
Okay, switching gears. So your campaign and your race is one of a couple that are sort of heating up a bit in the primary, which is unusual. One of the questions is, some people are saying, well, Todd, you already had a job. So talk about your decision to run in the new district.
The district, it's just so hard to explain. Ironically, at some point when they were creating these maps.
And you were part of, you were part of that.
Yeah,
plan.
The whole thing was a compromise that I think left us worse off, but not as bad off as we could have been under the Republican proposal. But one of the people, Brett Bonner on the Redistricting Commission, referred to it as the Donovan map, which is ironic given that the map ended up putting myself, Barry Buchanan, and Ken Mann in the same district, with my seat transitioning it to running against Satpal Sidhu. Barry could run against Ken. Ken could retire. Barry could run at large. I could wait till 19 to run against Satpal. We could all retire. So, you know, it's a bit of a long story, but I don't want to run against Satpal. I worked hard to get him elected. I like having him on council. He adds great perspective and diversity. And I'd like to serve a second term. So the only way I can do that without running against Satpal is to run now.
So you are running against a Republican and a Democrat, except that you have implied that Amy Lesser is not a Democrat. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, that's not. Yeah, I put air quotes over Democrat at one point. Which is maybe not fair, but no, she's definitely a Democrat. I think she calls herself a Bernie-crat, maybe more than a Democrat. But that was in reference to a lot of her comments to the effect of, you know, wanting Rick Larson out of office, wanting Suzanne Balbini to go, raising protests against Governor Inslee, encouraging people to vote against Patty Murray. That wing of the Democratic Party, I guess, is they're still Democrats.
Well, and I think this comes down to the core of issues with the Democratic Party, as we saw in the national election. And there is still a more centrist fashion and there's a more progressive fashion. And I think that's coming to play in your race.
Yeah, well, that's odd because, I mean, if you look at the three people that she filed to run against, myself, Ken Mann, and Barry Buchanan, would normally be considered the most progressive on the council. The person leading the charge against the oversized jail has been Ken. That was a fundamental part of my campaign in 2015 as well. The person like asking people actually look at new revenues has been myself. So to say we're the centrist part of the party, I don't know. I'm not sure I'd accept that.
I guess I'm coming back to, if somebody criticizes established Democrats, does that really mean that they're not a Democrat, or are they just?
Yeah, no, fair. Yeah. No, we're all Democrats, yep. And we're all fighting like a family.
So you said she chose to run in this district, which is her district as well. But at the time that she declared was December, I didn't know that you were going to run until you filed. So I don't know if there were any conversations, but do you think it was unfair that she ran?
No. I think it's unfair that she creates a narrative that it was an open seat when there were three incumbents in it. And she didn't contact any of them to ask, you know, what their intentions were. And that she was running unopposed in an open seat because she filed 5 months before filing week. That's a bit of a frustrating narrative. But yeah, to be fair, you know, I didn't know I was going to be running till fairly late because Sat Paul filed to run in his new district, but he changed his mind fairly late, which left me then facing the prospect of running against him in 2019. So yeah, I mean, that I did decide late because Sat Paul changed his mind.
Right. Well, and hopefully it will become increasingly a competition on issues. And going back to what you said, that it's interesting that some people might tag you as a centrist. So you do identify as a progressive?
Yes.
Well, so speak to that for a minute.
I'll just cover some of the things we just did. That, you know, as far as the people on the council that are trying to push for incarceration reduction and prevention, that are trying to find revenue for new social programs, that are taking on big coal and big oil. I caucus for Bernie. I have my issues with the centrist establishment wing of the Democratic Party. So, you know, if we're splitting hairs about that, and I ask people to ask my opponent, my Democratic opponent, now, why does she want me off the council? What are these issues that we're not really talking about issues? It's more like, well, it was an open seat and it was just sitting there. Or she can, and I appreciate this, or she can bring a perspective that we don't have. But then she starts talking about gender, not really about issues. So I do really appreciate the fact that she's bringing a lot of attention to homelessness. And I appreciate the fact that she's discovered the jail issue and she's working on that. I've been working on that for longer.
Is there a difference in your positions on the jail?
I think we need a new jail. I could see spending money retrofitting the old jail. Some of the ideas I've heard her in terms of constructing stuff onto the new jail where the parking lot is there, I think would be prohibitively expensive. I think we both oppose the idea of a big jail being built in Ferndale. And actually, my main issue with this is also just the cost. Skagit County just built a 400-bed jail, which I think is probably too big for them as well. For $40 million, we're looking at a 470-bed jail for $110 million.
Yeah, why is that? How were they able to do that in Skagit?
And that was with union labor. I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question for our executive. And until I get answers to that, I'm not supporting putting this on the ballot.
One more question about the makeup of the county council. So you're talking about having a great relationship with Sat Paul Sidhu, Barry Buchanan, Ken Mann's not going to be on there. Red Brown will still be on there probably. But it's the nature of it is changing because of the districts. Is there a perspective that you think is missing?
Oh, yeah. The conservative, rural, outside of Bellingham perspective is missing. And I think it's fair when you see people come up there, particularly Republicans, who say Whatcom County Council doesn't represent me. We don't. This is a fairly blue county. Obama gets 58%. Clinton gets 58%.
But also Trump came here and he didn't come to a lot of places like Washington State.
Trump got less support in Whatcom County than Mitt Romney did. He barely got 36%, I think. But even if Whatcom County is 37% or 42% Republican, there's no one they can see on council that represents them. Maybe Barbara. For better or for worse, the districts are going to change that. You know, we'll have a district around Linden. The Foothills district is going to be, you know, a toss-up, potentially conservative. We'll see how that goes.
Let's just say that happens. Are we going to see our council get anything done?
I think so. And I guess that, you know, one reason why I decided to run for council was my experience on the Charter Commission. I was in the minority there. There were 9 Republicans and 6 Democrats, and I got on fine with the Republicans. And there were some things we could find space on, not too many. But be civil and try to work together. And if, you know, the balance on this council changes, I think I could continue to do that.
Let's take a look at our growing population. And currently, there are over 5,000 people who are underemployed or unemployed seeking work in the county.
I'd think the number would be higher.
So what can we do about that?
Yeah, and that's not just a Whatcom County issue. I mean, that's the new economy of the United States and a lot of the advanced industrial democracies.
But we're the ones who have to deal with it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so what, you know, how do we get, we're talking about service sector jobs, you know, how do we get those paying better. We can talk about minimum wages. There's an interesting study that just came out with Seattle's minimum wage. People are getting more money, but they're getting fewer hours. So, you know, maybe there's a sweet spot between what we have where our minimum wage is right now and where we can get it, where people are making more money and not losing hours. We have to work harder with nonprofits and with the government and with developers to have housing that's coming in at a, not just a below market rate, but at a reasonable market rate. And, you know, it's interesting when we have developers come talk to council about how they're going to build new housing. They talk about how it's going to be gorgeous, $500,000, $700,000 homes. You know, how do we get a market where we're building stuff different than that? So people who are making, you know, service sector wages can find decent apartments and decent houses. I like the idea of opening up, and this is a heresy to some people, detached ADUs in the city, and I'm working with my neighborhood on that. Because it's, you know, that's a social justice issue. That's affordable housing that people are, you know, making $15 an hour might be able to afford that housing in a good neighborhood.
So Whatcom coexists with Lummi and Nooksack Nation. Talk about your experience and connections with them.
More with the Lummi than the Nooksack. And both tribes supported me in my last run. I think it's really important for elected officials to, you know, when invited, and it's always an honor to be invited to their events, to go out there, to treat, and I think this is important to the tribes, they're governments. And, you know, we have to look at these as government-to-government relations, not just another interest group or actor in the
and
county.
What are the issues that are going to come up in those government to government?
Oh, I was just mentioning our capital budget. You know, the improvements for Slater Road, or just improvements for roads in general. That, you know, the tribe, and I'm more familiar with the Lummi side of this, but you know, the tribes are a government with a stake in that sort of capital development. Whatcom County's traffic flow plans are related to that. We have to work together on those sorts of issues. But I mean, almost anything you think about that the government does, you know, the cities and counties coordinate things, and the county and the tribes have to coordinate things. And I think we can do a better job on that. But we're on much better terms than previous councils have been back in the Marlene Dawson era. And that's a pretty low bar to say we're doing better than, but we're doing better.
You brought up Cherry Point earlier. Has the council done enough on Cherry Point to preserve it? And if not, what other steps do you want to see the council take to preserve that area?
Preserve is an interesting way to phrase that. Because, you know, we have to preserve the industry that's there, and we have to preserve the environment. We have to protect public health. No, I don't think we've done enough. And we have done far less than what the Whatcom Business Alliance is accusing us of doing. Those industries are doing fairly well, and we're being accused of killing jobs and cutting education funding because we are trying to study. We put aside $150,000 to study what exactly a local government can do in the face of, you know, new pipelines being pointed here, in the face of, you know, increased crude by rail coming here. What can we do with railroads and pipelines as a local government? So, you know, as far as our critical area plan and our comprehensive plan, and the state shoreline management plan and the Army Corps of Engineers saying, you know, you can't build a GPT thing. I think we're doing a good job on the environment. And at the same time, our comp plan recognizes that's a heavy industry area. It's going to stay a heavy industry area. What we don't have are the tools to figure out, you know, what if BP does want to start exporting unrefined crude? You know, that could be a threat to jobs right there if they're shipping that overseas to refine it rather than refining here. Or it's, you know, the increased shipping traffic. And with the federal ban on crude exports being lifted, that's really got us kind of in a state of uncertainty. And there's a lot more that we need to do as a local government to figure out what do we do if those things happen.
Let's talk about Lake Whatcom, and what is your vision for taking care of the lake?
My vision is we need more money, and we can talk about that, right? You know, we have some good programs that we have some data that show that are working, and you know, the more expensive ones are retrofitting stormwater runoff through, you know, better technology vaults and filters to decrease the phosphorus loading. We have smaller programs working with homeowners to try to incentivize them to, you know, take out lawn and put native landscaping in. All of these are funded with our flood / stormwater tax fund, which is now in the next budget year going to be burning into our reserves. We are unable to maintain our current level of services for protecting Lake Whatcom without having a conversation about finding new revenues for that.
All right, Todd Donovan, what do you think is the most important thing that voters should know about you, Todd Donovan?
I'm the defending champion of the Bellingham Pub Run.
Do you want to give us some background on
that? No, it was a fundraiser. Probably not the smartest event to have hundreds of people running through town going to 15 pubs. But I won, and then they shut it down after that, so I can say I'm the defending champion. I don't know what else. You know, I think people know I've been at Western for about 25 years. I'm enjoying my time on council. I'd hope to spend at least another term doing it.
Todd Donovan, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me.